We're in a series called I Heart My Church. I Love My Church. You missed my t-shirt last week. I will wear it next week. But this series was birthed out of a devotional time I had with the Lord in beautiful Sun River, Oregon. And as I was journaling out on the deck and reading Romans chapter 12, I realized that this was a passage for us as a church to navigate through and go through. And it's really surrounding this idea of the local church and how Jesus died for the church. Jesus loves the church. And so I love the church as well. And so I Love My Church is about you and I developing a true love for the local church. For the local church. And when I say local church, I'm talking about our church. I'm talking about Newburgh Foursquare Church, soon to be Red Hills Church. And it is about being fully engaged in what God is doing in the church. The church is the best place on earth. Why do I say that? Because it's the expression of Christ's love on this planet. If you missed last week, you can listen to the message online. But the main theme of it was this, that church, especially in regards to membership, is less about rights and privileges than it is about becoming and belonging. In fact, if you come from a background where church membership is you fill out a card, you sign on a dotted line, and all of a sudden you have rights and privileges and say in the church, then I'm sorry, but that is wrong. The Bible doesn't show us that. In fact, what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, he says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And he says this part floored me. He said, and each member belongs to all the others. Which means I belong to you and you belong to me. Which means at the core of church membership is this idea that we belong to something. And in the heart of every man and woman is this desire to belong to something bigger than themselves and greater than themselves. And today I want to talk about another dimension, another level of how we love our church. And Paul says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 6. If you find your Bibles, get there with me. He says this. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is to prophesy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, then let him serve. If it is teaching, then let him teach. If it is encouraging, then let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, then let him give generously. If it is leadership, then let him lead diligently. If it is showing mercy, then let him do it cheerfully. Scripture is clear that number one, that all of us have been uniquely created and given talents and gifts. And two, that we are to use those gifts in the local church. Paul says, we're all different. We're all unique. We all have different gifts. But when we come together and we use our gifts together, something glorious happens in the church. Listen, the two greatest days in your life is the day you were born and the day you discovered what you were born for. It's the greatest days in your life. The day you were born and the day you discovered what you were born for. Listen, a lot of people go through life and never discover what they were made to do. What they were born to do. They might work a job for 40 years, work to retire to enjoy the good life, okay? But they may never realize what they were born to do. The two greatest days in your life is the day you were born and the day you discovered what you were born for. And today I want to talk about what you were born for. By the way, this isn't necessarily your job. Your job is what you get paid for. Your calling is what you're made for. Now for me, my job and my calling are the same. When you can line those two things up, it's a glorious union and unity where God really empowers you. And it is incredible, but it doesn't always have to happen that way. Today, I want to talk about gifts, how God has wired us and given us gifts. How many of you have been around really gifted people? I mean, just people that almost make you sick, all right? They are so good at what they do. Now, one thing I love about watching sports, especially college football, and of course this summer we watched the Olympics, is that you watch I love seeing men and women operate in their gifting. And you watch these athletes who are at the top of their game and the top of their sport, and you watch them perform. And I'm amazed that swimming has been kind of the highlight of the Olympics. And what I'm amazed about is to watch these athletes over and over, every 4 years, keep breaking world records. All right, it boggles my mind that people just keep getting better and better at what they do. They have a gift, right? They have a gift. And here's the thing, they're operating in that gift. Just as these elite athletes have a gift, just as an artist has a gift, each one of us has been given a gift from God. But here's the thing, we need to discover those gifts. We need to develop those gifts. And then finally, we need to deploy those gifts. And today, I want to talk about the gifts and talents that God has given his people. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about as a pastor, because one of my passions is seeing other people operate in their full potential. You see, God created us with an enormous capacity and potential, and every single one of us has been uniquely created and designed to function in this potential, in this gift, in this calling. There's a show my wife and I like to watch. I think it's on the History Channel. It's called Antique Archaeology. Did anybody ever watch this show? One reason we love this show is because it's based in Iowa. And in fact, Brianne's grandma lives in the town that the show is filmed in. And so the basis of this show is that these two guys go around the country, mainly the Midwest and in the East Coast. They go around the country and they call it picking. And they go into these old barns and they find houses that have rust sitting out, and to them it's gold, all right? And they drive up and they knock on the door and they ask, hey, here's what we're doing. This is what we like to buy and we like to sell. Do you have anything like that? And they walk around their property, and one of their goals is to recover things that have been lost or stored away or tucked in a barn, right? And so they find these gold mines. I mean, they find these gems in a barn, these really rare bikes or cars or any other antiques. And literally, they rescue them from the barn. They polish them up, clean them up. They sell them so that they can be put on display again. Now, when I watch this show and as I'm preparing this message, I think a lot of times in the church, we have hidden our gifts away back in the corner of the barn, all right? And it's collecting rust, and it's getting a little old, and I'm not calling you antiques, okay? But I'm saying that a lot of times we put things kind of back, all right? And we don't operate in the full potential that God has actually created us to operate in. And so we put our gifts in the back, we hide them in the barn, we put them up on the shelf. And today, what I want to talk about, what I want to do, even for a moment, is I want us to uncover those gifts. I want us to dig back behind the barn and realize what's truly there. What's truly there? What God has wired us and created us and gifted us in. Listen, when you discover your potential and operate the way God has designed you to, then you start living in the fullness of God. And one of my goals today is that we would begin to discover how God has gifted us. This is your strengths and your talents, that we would unearth the raw potential in each and every one of you, that you would begin to feel alive when you understand how God has gifted you. For me, every year I feel like I experience and discover a little more of who God made me to be. But my greatest breakthrough in life was probably when I was about 30 or 31 years old, which wasn't very long ago, where I actually, for the first time, realized who I was in Jesus Christ. And so for the first 30 years of my life, I operated not in the fullest potential that God had wired me. I didn't operate in all my gifts. I was a young pastor when I started. I was 22, 23, and you just kind of figure out what you're supposed to do, and you try different things. But then I realized who God made me to be. And I realized it through this. The path for me discovering my gifts was discovering my weaknesses. Understanding who you're not is the first step in understanding who God made you to be. Now listen, I'm in a career path where there's a lot of expectations upon me, all right? There's a job description that everyone has of pastor. And I can spend my life trying to fill each one of them, or I can find how God has wired me in the gifts that he has given me, and I can operate in those gifts. And when I discovered who I wasn't, and I was okay with it, it's finally when I discovered who I was. And the Holy Spirit did something in me. There was a change. I mean, almost a physical, visible change within me, within my teaching and my preaching, within who God and what he was doing in me. You see, I am most satisfied and fulfilled in Christ when I operate in my gifts. I am most drained when I'm not. I am most drained when I'm not. So let's look at another verse today. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talks about gifts in three different places in the Bible. He talks about it in Romans chapter 12, which we just read. He talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4, which we're going to read. And he also talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he says this. We're going to read verse 1. And then we're going to spend the rest of the time in this passage. Verse 1, he says this. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. A better translation is actually uninformed. So Paul from the outset says this to his church in Corinth. He says, listen, about the gifts of the Spirit. He goes, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be uninformed. And so today we're going to take Paul's words and we're going to implement them in our life. And we're going to learn what spiritual gifts are. There are three questions that I want to answer today. The three questions are this. What are spiritual gifts? Many of us probably already know what they are. What is the purpose of them? And the last one is, how do I discover my spiritual gifts? Well, what are spiritual gifts? This is my outline. You can write that note at the top. What are spiritual gifts? Well, there's two views on spiritual gifts. The first view is this, that spiritual gifts are natural abilities that we were born with and that God kind of comes in and helps our natural abilities and accelerates them, all right? And so you've heard the question, are you born a leader or do you become a leader, right? And I'm telling you, that's still open for debate. Do you become a leader or are you born a leader? And so the first view of spiritual gifts is that everyone is born with certain gifts and certain talents and certain strengths. And so throughout life, as they get discovered, God augments those gifts and enhances those gifts with his Holy Spirit. The other view of spiritual gifts is that they are supernatural abilities, something that you do not possess on your own, something that you were not born with, that the Holy Spirit comes in your life and all of a sudden, boom, gives you a gift. All right? Now, here's the thing that we have to understand about Scripture and about God. God speaks through people, all right? We know that. He does not negate or bypass who we are. God actually uses us in the personality that he's given us from the time we were born. All right, it's why the Bible was written by over 40 authors, and it's written where you read a different author and you realize, you see their personality. Right? When people wrote the Bible and they were inspired by God, it wasn't kind of this, like, you know, just kind of this pure translation like that. God uses them, their gifts, their personality. He inspired them to write the word. It's why you see the angle that James walks us through, which we talked about this summer. You see the differences between Paul. We see how they line up together, but we also see their own gifts and their own differences. And this is how God operates. He uses our personalities, our innate talents, our emotional and physical makeup of who we are, and the Holy Spirit augments those gifts when we come to know Jesus, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, listen to this, at the same time, God gives us gifts we don't possess. Gifts we might call supernatural. I don't really like that word, but it's the only word I know to use for these kind of gifts. Gifts that you do not possess on your own. You do not possess in your nature. Gifts that you cannot go out on the street and do on your own strength. And so the answer is, well, what's right? Both. both. God has wired each of us. We've been knitted and created in our mother's womb. He created you with a personality. He created you with talents, and he created you with gifts. And when you come to know Jesus, the Holy Spirit augments those gifts and you flourish in those gifts. And at the same time, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you also receive gifts that you cannot do on your own. And so Paul talks about these gifts. In fact, he says this. He says there are different kinds of gifts. Let's jump to verse 4 through 6 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says this. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Here's what's interesting. Paul, in these two verses, he uses three different words for gifts. The first word is found in verse 4. He said there are different kinds of gifts. The second one is in verse 5. He says there are different kinds of service. And the last one is in verse 6, where he says there are different kind of working. So there are three different categories or types of gifts listed in Scripture. And the first one that we're going to cover today is the manifestation gifts. These are the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are the gifts in this chapter. Now, this word for manifestation, it's the word working in verse 6 there, is the Greek word is energema. Now, the New Testament was written in Greek. And this is where we get the word energy from, or a power from. And so this kind of gift is the manifestation gifts. This literally is the activity in power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are 9 of these gifts. If we kept reading, we'd understand all of them. I'll just mention them briefly. There are tongues. There are interpretation of tongues. There is prophecy. There is a word of wisdom. There is a word of knowledge. There is discernment of the spirits. There is faith. There is miracles. And there is healing. And Paul would say, these are the manifestation gifts. These are the ones that you do not possess on your own. No one was born with the gift of prophecy. All right? No one was born with the gift of tongues. All right? No one was born with these gifts. And so Paul says these are the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation gifts. This is the activity of the Holy Spirit working within us. And when we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives us gifts to work in the Holy Spirit. The second kind of gifts that he talks about are ministry gifts. These are the gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. The Greek word for this word service is diakonia, which literally means ministry or minister. This is where we get the word deacon from. These gifts are listed in Ephesians. Let's get Ephesians 4 up on the screen. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. These are the ministry gifts. These are the gifts that God has given us to be used in the church. Now, another word for these ministry gifts are the fivefold ministry gifts. You've heard of this before, many of you. And so sometimes we look at those ministry gifts and we think, oh, there's 5 of them, but we only call 1 of them, we call them pastors, right? But here's the thing, here's the beautiful expression of the church is that there are different assessments, and I put it at the bottom of your notes there. It's called the APEST test, and it's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, that you can take to discover your role in the church. And so each pastor have different gifts, even within the fivefold ministry. And here's Paul's point, is that the fivefold ministry, all of them are important. Now, we tend to elevate pastor or give people the title pastor, but all of them are important, every single one of them. These are gifts to be used in the church. So let's talk about these gifts very briefly. The apostle is one who plants the church and has authority. It is the one who has vision to plant new churches to expand the kingdom. The prophet is the one who speaks on behalf of God. These are people who mainly speak to Christians and people in the church. The evangelist speaks on behalf of God mainly to non-Christians, to people who don't know Jesus. The pastor is one who shepherds, protects, and nurtures a local congregation. And the teacher is one who equips the church through preaching and teaching. These are ministry gifts. Here's the third kind of gifts that Paul talks about. He talks about them in Romans chapter 12. They're called, we can call them motivational gifts. Now, this is the very first word listed in verse 4, where it said there's different kinds of gifts. The Greek word, and some of you have heard this word, it's the word charisma. Plural, it's the word charismata. It's where we get the word charismatic from. In the 1960s, the idea of charismatic churches came about because the churches believed and operated in these kind of gifts, the ones listed in Romans chapter 12. Now, the root word of charisma is the word charis, which means grace. Grace is delight, favor, or pleasure of God. Grace is what we've been shown on the cross. Grace is what has been given to us by Jesus. Grace is free. It is the favor of God upon the lives of his people. And God lavishes his grace upon us. But charisma is this. It is the result of grace in action. That is a charismatic gift, is the result of grace in action. It is much more than a gift. In fact, to call it a gift is actually half true. Because when we think of a gift, we think of something that's mine, right? We think of something that's ours. But this gift of charisma and these gifts are for other people. To only call it a gift is potentially inaccurate. A spiritual gift, then, this charisma or charismata, is a grace gift. And I think James would use these words. He would say, this is a gift that actually works. Right? We've all received gifts that were broken, right? But this is a gift that actually works. The motivational gifts are this, listed in Romans chapter 12. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Listen, these gifts of the Spirit, these gifts of Jesus, these gifts of the Father are both natural abilities that we were born with, that God gave us, and also supernatural abilities that he gives us to operate in his kingdom. And God gives us different gifts to different people. And here's the thing, what he says. He says, we don't all get the same gift. How many of you look at gifted people and you wish, I wish I had what they had? Listen, I did that for 8 years. I'm really, that guy's really good. That pastor, I wish I was like that. And that's when I discovered, no, God made me like this, all right? God made me who I was. He gave me certain gifts, and it freed me up to do what God had called me to do. I want to answer the second question is this. What is the purpose of spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12:7 says it. It says, spiritual gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Spiritual gifts. You know, I grew up in a very charismatic church. And so spiritual gifts to me growing up, whether it was taught this way, it was just received, is that a spiritual gift was for me. It was kind of personal, right? And if you grew up in a Pentecostal, it's more about speaking in tongues. And so it was kind of that personal gift. But in fact, when you read Scripture, nowhere does it say the spiritual gifts are only for us. It says the gifts were given for the common good. You see, God gives you gifts not just to make you a better person. He gives you a gift to make the person sitting next to you better. You realize that? It's not just to make you better. You get better through their gift. They get better through your gift. Are you following me? This is the purpose of spiritual gifts. He says this in Ephesians chapter 4:12. He says the purpose of gifts is to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Spiritual gifts has always been and will always be about other people. A gift, calling it merely a gift is inaccurate because a gift is something that's yours and you can keep to yourself. Now, there is one place on earth that I would love to visit. It is in Italy, in Ravenna, Italy. I don't know if you've been there, but there are these beautiful mosaics in these three churches or basilicas. Has anybody been there and seen these mosaics? All right. Nobody has. Oh, Armin, you have. There's these beautiful mosaics of Jesus and his followers and these events that happen in Scripture. And a mosaic are pieces of glass or clay colored that individually on their own, they're not very special, but when they're put up and plastered on a wall, it's this beautiful picture that you see. Now, I think the church is like this. It's a mosaic. It's a canvas that put together as a church that we are unique, all right? That we are different, but when we're put together as one, you see this great picture of what the church should be. And it's the church functioning in the full glory of who God made us to be. And so part of my passion is us discovering our gifts, is that we would become a more beautiful picture of the body of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we become a greater picture to our community. They're not just a church that kind of makes changes and votes on this and votes on that and has politics. No, no, no. It's a church that their agenda is about the gospel of Jesus Christ and showing off the love of Jesus to our community. It's a mosaic. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're not part of the mosaic, then we don't have a full picture. If you just come on Sunday morning and listen to me preach for 40 minutes and don't get involved to do anything, then we're missing out. Then we're missing out. I've said this before. There is no second string in the kingdom of God. All right? There's no bench warmers. All right? God wants us to use our gifts for his glory. We're all created differently, but together, combined, fully functioning as a church is a beautiful canvas. It's a beautiful painting. It's a beautiful mosaic of who Jesus is. What are spiritual gifts? What are the purpose? Here's the last question. How do I discover my gifts? You know, I think you've probably understood by now is that I don't like just to preach a message and not have application, right? It's kind of when we did prayer and talked about prayer, we couldn't leave without actually praying. And when Paul says, hey, we're all uniquely created, we all have different gifts, I feel, well, let's discover together what our gifts are. So we're going to do something that we've never done before in church. In fact, when I started telling people about it, they started giving me confused looks. Are you serious? We're going to do that in church? I said, yeah, we're going to do it. When you walked in, you were given this spiritual gifts assessment, an inventory. It's not a test. Now, here's what I want to talk about really quick. This is a very shortened version. And the only gifts that are listed here on the back are the gifts listed in Romans chapter 12. Now, we're going to do this together. We're going to take about 5 minutes to do this together because I want everyone to walk out with something that they are good at. But here's what I'd like you to do. If you have time this week, we have this program, Spiritual Gifts Test. It's 105 question, and it has all 17 of the gifts listed in Scripture. And it's a greater picture of how God's wired you. And so you can find that at the bottom of your handout. It's newburgfoursquare.com/gifts test. So after today, if you would at some time this week or the next few weeks, if you would fill that out online, we would love, number one, for you to understand where you're gifted. But number two, we want to understand where you're gifted so we can help you figure out and lead you where God is leading you. So this is how this works. So you check the items that describe you, that best describe you. Now, here's the key in taking an assessment. Don't check boxes of things that you'd like to be. Of course I'd like to be, you know, love directing. Of course it's natural for me to show kindness to people. But let's be honest, it's not natural for everybody, okay? So I want you to be honest. Check the boxes that's most innately is who you are and how you operate. So if you check every box, then it won't be accurate. So let's take 5 minutes. If you have a pen, does anybody need a pen or need a form? Raise your hand. We'll get one to you. All right, Dina, right here. Just raise your hand and then behind you, just keep it up till you get one. So go ahead. We're going to play some music. It's going to take about 5 minutes. And then you total at the bottom, you total all your check marks. And if it's above a 3, 4, or 5, it's a spiritual gift. All right, let's wrap this up. Some of you may not be done. You can take it home with you. Anything surprising for anybody? Did it confirm some things for you? Well, listen to this. This is just very short spiritual gifts profile. We have a long one online that, honestly, we took it as a staff, and it's really, really good. And I'd love for you to be able to take it. I also put on the bottom of your handout different resources that have helped me discover my strengths and talents. Strengths Finder is one. The DISC test is one. Also, that helps if you're a manager hiring people to how you hire and hiring the right people. Listen, the church is missing out if you're not using your gift. Let's unearth it. Let's dig it out of the barn. Let's let it rise to the surface. Next week, we're going to talk about the responsibility we have when we're gifted and talk about how we can implement them into our church community. Listen, I love my church. I love my church. Thank you for being part of this great community that Jesus loves as well. I'm going to ask Pastor Aaron Rauch to come up. He's going to close in prayer and direct us to transform tables and sign up for that.